still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And then, of course, the next two verses, Jesus himself speaking. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Jesus doing this speaking in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. We'll be dwelling this morning mostly on verse 17. Listen carefully. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you see us, Father. You know our hearts. You know our longings. And the invitation has been given so clearly. Lord, and this is your final invitation in the scriptures. And it may be a final invitation that you're giving someone here this morning, seated together. It may be someone that's watching on the internet or listening by way of the phone. And Father, you know all that. And we're trusting you as you speak to us this morning. Let us know and realize that the time is short and the day is at hand. And help us, Lord, just be what you want us to be. I remember the scripture we read in 1 Thessalonians. We're not of the night, we are of the day. We're your children. And help us, Father, to be sober and to do what you expect us to do and want us to do, ever looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that lovely name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Let's look at the thought this morning that God's final invitation. He chose the last chapter, almost the last verses, to tell and let us look carefully at this verse as we see who it is that is given this invitation. The invitation is quite clear. Come. And he expects you and I to come boldly to the throne of grace. He expects us to come to him for worship as we've come this morning. He expects us to come and realize and give thanks as we heard a wonderful song. The song was so great this morning about thank you, Lord, for all you've done, for what you're doing. And so we just come. But the invitation now is given, first of all, it's given by the Spirit and the bride. The Holy Spirit throughout the Word of God tells people to come and bids people to come because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. So when he was lifted up into heaven, Jesus and the Father sent the blessed Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is in this world. The Holy Ghost is whispering. And if we lift up the name of Jesus, he draws men to him. And you know what the invitation is? Come. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You and I that have come and days gone by, we can explain to others how wonderful it is that we were lost and undone on our way to a devil's hell. It may have been 7 or 70, but it doesn't matter. But when we came to Jesus at the invitation of the Spirit, we came and he was there. Come. And then the second person that gave us invitation is the bride. The bride, of course, is the church. That's you and I. There are many saints in heaven right now, and I do not know, and the scripture does not tell us about the state of those people. We know to be absent in body is to be present with the Lord, but we don't know a lot more about that. But there is a bride in heaven. And Revelations now, remember John early in Revelations was caught up, and it pictures the church that has been caught up and is in heaven. But right now the scripture is written to you and I, and many around the country, no doubt, that may hear this message, and maybe one of you this morning, that the invitation is so clear. Come to me. You may have been coming to church. You may have went to the baptismal pool, but the invitation is come for salvation and the bride. And that's our job. We're the bride of Christ. And so we tell others, not only in word, but indeed, as we live our life, as we talk to others, as we witness to others, and we let our life be on display. It is on display, and all the world can see. Do we act like Christians? Do we act like we're saved? The world's looking on. What should be our message to them? He already told us. And the spirits and the bride say, come. That should be the invitation of every child of God, the bride of Christ, to rear our children in the house of God, to tell others about the Lord's soon coming. And then the best way to do, Paul taught us that well. He said, I was on the road to Damascus, and I was going the wrong direction, but Jesus appeared to me as a light from heaven, and he spoke to me. And that should be our invitation to others. The best way you can witness to others is tell them about what Jesus has done for you, how he came to you when you were lost. You say, oh, I've told that thousands of times. Paul just kept on telling it, kept on telling it. In courts, to others, in the scripture, he would say, invitation, he came to me and then invited me to come to him. And that's what he says now. That should be your life and mine. The Holy Spirit says come, and the bride say come, but that's not all. Let him that heareth come. The invitation is given to everyone that heareth the Spirit of God speaking. You may hear my voice, and you may have heard other people's voices as your parents, as your grandparents, as your Sunday school teacher or a preacher or someone somehow told you about Jesus and his invitation to come. And that should be our invitation to others. But the scripture says, let him that heareth come. The who is given that all those that hear may come. He doesn't push anyone aside. Not only those that come, but look what else. Let him that is athirst come. The invitation is given. It's given by the bride. It's given by the Spirit. And it's given to those that are athirst. But let's look, next of all, the invitation, who it is given to. We know who gave it, the Spirit and the bride. And to those that hear. But now listen carefully. This is who it is given to. It's quite simple. Let's look simply. I love the Word of God. It's so simple. Just he said it would be even a child could understand. Let him that is athirst come. The word athirst in the Word of God means a longing in your heart. And he, the Holy Ghost, is the one that puts that longing in people's heart. When they hear, all those that hear may come. And the Spirit is saying to them, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men. So when the Holy Ghost convicts people, you get tired of living this old weary world, sin on every hand, sin in your own life, and you're thirsty. He makes you thirsty. Those that are athirst, those that have a longing in their heart, and that longing in the heart is put there by God. You wasn't born like that physically because we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Why? Because Eve is the mother of all living, and Adam and Eve had sinned and transgressed. So we were born in sin. But thank God for the day the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, born of a virgin, sent by the Father. And then he lived that perfect life, sinless life. Went to a cruel cross. He came to die, and he shed his blood for you and me. and he died and was buried. But on the third day, he arose, and then he ascended to heaven. And he sent the Holy Ghost, and the message is clear to all generations, come. If you're thirsty, come. We all know what it's like. Surely we do, to be thirsty. You've been out somewhere, sometime, and you were thirsty physically. And you drank that cool water, and it quenched the thirst. How much more? The Samaritan woman found out about this when Jesus said, I needs go through Samaria. And he needs come to you this morning, because he's already said, Jesus has come to invite you to come. And the Spirit says, come. So that day he was on the well, and the Samaritan woman came to draw physical water from the well because she was thirsty. And there sat Jesus. And they explained, he explained to her about the living water and that water that will quench the thirst. That's what the word of thirst means, that thirsting in your soul. She didn't even know. She may have been thirsty for water physically, but after listening to the words of Jesus, and he told about, you know, you don't know what you worship, he said, but then he started explaining about, I'll give you living water, water that will quench your thirst. And as he started explaining to her, then she started thirsting. She became athirst. There was a longing in her heart. And you remember what happened to you when you were under conviction. I was 12 years old when I was under conviction. And it seems like that I was going to perish, that I have something. I didn't know what that something was. But the Holy Ghost knew quite well. And the Holy Ghost just pointed me to Jesus, the Lamb of God. I'd heard it preached. I'd read it in the Scripture. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. And I had done that as a 9-year-old boy, but unfortunately, it was not in my heart. It was through my mouth. My mother had talked me into it, and she was a godly woman, but at the same time, the Holy Ghost, and I wasn't under conviction yet, but 3 years later, on that glorious day, he made me so thirsty. I could not wait until I got out of my seat and went to the altar, and all I did was tell the Lord I was thirsty. And he, the Holy Spirit, showed me how to believe in my heart, and Jesus saved my weary soul. So the Scripture says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. And here's one of my favorite parts of this whole verse. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This invitation is given so clearly to those that are thirsty, to all those that are thirsty. It's not his will that any should perish, because he came to save sinners. That precious blood of Jesus was adequate. It was sufficient. It was powerful enough to save every sinner and every human being that had ever been born, from Adam and Eve all the way through to the very last. But you see, there has to be a thirst. And whosoever will, let him. We've seen much in this Scripture, but and let. Let's go back and read. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth, and let him that is athirst. And whosoever will, let him. The word let means a compelling, a desire of God the Father that he puts in your heart, and you have the opportunity. Let him. If somebody says, I'll let you go and visit, you know, let's say you have a store or something, a simple illustration, and you say, well, I'm giving away a free gift today. All you have to do is come. And then when you come, not the first one in the store, but everyone that comes in the store. So all you have to just let you come, just permission to come in my store, and I will give you a gift. God is saying, let. I give you permission to the ends of the world, and I permit, I encourage, I draw you, and you have the right to come.
Who?
Whosoever it will. And that's a challenge this morning. Because a lot of people, and I've witnessed to people before that said, well, you don't know what I've done. I've done this and I've done that. And I didn't necessarily want to hear all they've done. But they began telling me. And the thought was so simple, I said, well, those are bad sins. All of us were sinners. But did you ever arrest Christians and hold the coats and talk people into stoning people and killing them? No, I've never done anything that bad. Well, Saul did. And Saul said, I'm the chief of all sinners. But he allowed them and encouraged them to stone Stephen to death. But when Jesus came and gave him that invitation on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why kickest thou against the pricks? The invitation was, come unto me, Saul. You've tried religion, and you know the scriptures, and you've studied, and you've done everything that you thought you ought to be doing, but unfortunately, it wasn't what I want you to do. Now, I'm going to open it up for you that you will repent of your sins and that you will go and do what I want you to do. I'll let you do that. And Saul quickly said, yes, Lord. And that's the way it comes to every one of us. He gives us permission to come, first of all. Doesn't matter what we've done in the past. It doesn't matter any situation, what religion you were born in, what your beliefs were. But then when the Holy Spirit comes to that thirsty soul and actually makes that soul athirst, and you think nothing else will satisfy. I've tried church membership. I've been faithful. Maybe a Sunday school teacher. Maybe sang in the choir. Maybe even told other people about reading the scripture and being faithful. Done all these things. But the soul itself has to get thirsty, that individual. And not only the Holy Spirit can do that. So the invitation is very clear. Whosoever will let, I give permission to come to a thirsty soul. And God may be dealing with someone here this morning. God has put this message on my heart most of the week. As I studied and tried to say, God, how can I explain about the open invitation? Because you've already said in your world, come unto me, all ye that are weary. That's what Jesus said while he was walking the earth. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy loaden. And he promised to give rest. If you were to testify this morning, all that's been saved by the grace of God, and you were to take time to say, I came unto Jesus and I found rest. Now, sometimes you come to Jesus and you find that rest and then you go astray and you start serving self and you start forgetting all the things. We've heard the song this morning about, let's remember all that God's done for us. But then when you start thinking again, the invitation is for you also. Come. Come unto me. It's for those that hear. It's for those that want to be closer drawn to him. The invitation in this passage is not only for those that are lost. Remember, it's a final invitation. And God stirs your heart in these days. You may need to come to Jesus for a refreshing. You say, well, I'm saved. And I've heard people say before, it makes cold chills run over me, that they said I got saved like, you know, a 20-year-old, and I've never made a mistake or sinned that. Well, James says that's not right. Because we all sin, and if we sin, we have an advocate, Christ Jesus, the righteous, and we pray and say, Lord, forgive me and cleanse me. So the invitation is to those that are saved, that haven't been walking the walk that he has commanded you to do, or you haven't done what he told you to do individually. The invitation is clear to you. Come. Come unto me. And then what? And let him take the water of life freely. That water of life. The Samaritan woman found out about it. The water of life. The Spirit of God. The grace of God. The mercy of God. when you drink of him and you are thirsty for that longing that God puts in your heart, it's fulfilled, then that thirst goes away. The water of life, the water of life is Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit, cleansed the shed blood, and that blood has taken care of the sins of our past. It's taken care of our neglects, our sins that we do now. When we confess those sins, he is faithful to forgive us that sin. So talk to people that were, and you have and I have also, those people that lived the life of sin, that were doing, despite the grace of God, and all their life, which was doing trespasses on it. It seems like there was just a coldness, something they couldn't overcome. But when they drank of the water, when he let them, when he made them thirsty, and they became athirst enough to come unto him. Short message this morning, but God would have me stop right there because God is dealing with individual. Brother Randy, come sing a song of invitation, whatever God puts on your heart. And we see that the invitation has been given to whosoever will. God's final invitation in his word. And it could be God's final invitation to you because he says, I come quickly. And he could be coming at any time. It may be another year, 5 years, 10 years. I don't know. But even if he delays his coming and he doesn't come until then, would you stand this morning, your heads are bowed? He's coming to you right now, and he's inviting you, the Spirit and the bride, and all those that hear, say, come. And all those people that are in heaviness, in trouble spiritually or physically, he didn't qualify it, did he? Whosoever may drink of the water of the life freely, that's the only requirement. You don't have the request or the ability to ever pay it back. He said it's free. Free to all those. I've already paid the price. And all you have to do is hear and come. Invitation to all those that are hurting. You say, I have burdens in my heart for other people. Wonderful. Thank God for those burdens. Invitation for you to come. And you're coming and you're saying, Lord, that burden I have for you and for that lost individual, I'm praying, Lord, that don't necessarily take the burden away as long as they're in sin or in need. Giving that burden, it teaches me to pray. But, Lord, I come to you trusting. And that water of life that he will give you gives you faith. It gives you cleansing. It gives you grace, mercy. Every good gift that God's got to give, when you drink freely from the well of salvation, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Brother Randy, sing a song of invitation. You may be here this morning, you're not saved. What an opportunity it would be. Invitation is quite clear. Come. Simple invitation. Simple words. Behold, I come quickly. Could be the final invitation you'll ever receive. Don't spin it away. Don't leave it vacant. Come. Everyone that has a need, that you know others have needs, you say, I don't have a burden for others. Come. You're hearing, and let him give you that burden. It's the last days. And without a burden, the people perish. Without a vision, the people perish. Ask God to give you a vision of what you can do, how you can help, because he's already said, let the Spirit and the bride say, come. We're the bride. Our job is to tell others in their life and their living that when they see us in their actions and their attitudes, we're saying to them, come to Jesus. He'll come to you.